Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Kama Daf Nun Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the Shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins at the Mishnah that you will find 14 lines from the top. We continue with a discussion concerning a bor, a pit owned by two people. Kisohu harishon, the first one covered the pit. Uvo hasheni, the second partner came. Umotsoi megula velo kiso. And he found it open, no cover on their pit, and he didn't bother covering it. Hasheni chayev, the second one bears exclusive responsibility. Kiso koroi v'nofal l'seichei shor oi chamor umeis. The bor, the pit, was covered properly, and somehow an ox or a donkey fell in and died. Potter, there's exemption. No compensation is demanded. Lo kiso koroi, if it was not covered properly, v'nofal l'seichei shor oi chamor umeis, chayav. If it wasn't proper coverly, then there is responsibility. Nofal lefonov mikol hakriya chayav. We're going to translate this fairly literally, leaving the more extensive discussion for later on. The first stage is just the translation. Is the animal fell in lefonov, say frontwards, from the koil hakriya, from the sound of the digging, the noise, the vibrations, and it fell in, it fell forward, we'll say, chayav. Chayav, the payment must be made. Lachrov, if it fell backwards, mikoil hakriya, from the sound of the digging, potter, there is exemption. The Rashi says, across from here more or less, Nofal lefon of mikol hakriya, bor kriya. V'nichnas kiru sochir l'soichoi. There was an already dug pit, and a hired person went into the pit, laharchiv lahamik, to widen it or deepen it, v'shor hoylich al sfas habor. And an ox was walking along the edge of the pit, v'shoma kil hapatish, v'nivas, v'nofal alponov babor. And the animal heard the banging noises, caught fright, and fell forward in the pit. So we say, if you continue reading in the Rashi, chayov bal habor, the owner of the pit bears responsibility. V'afilu shorshu pikeach, even an animal of sound mind, a normal animal, where later it is taught that the owner of the pit would be exempt if a normal type animal fell into the pit because the animal should have watched where it's going. Here there is a difference. Here there is responsibility. It was a sudden fright from the noise of the digging. In the Gemara, a question will be raised. Why don't we say that the digger is the one that caused the damage and hence he should bear responsibility? Let us turn back to the Mishnah. Nofal l'soichoi shor v'kelov v'nishtabru. An ox and the vessels that are on an ox fell into the pit. In other words, an ox laden with its vessels. An ox is used for plowing, so there are different we'll say accoutrements that characterize an ox. They fell in and the vessels broke. Chamor v'kelov v'niskaru, a donkey with what's usually on its back, different kinds of material, of fabric, blankets and the sort, fell in and they got torn. Chayov al habehemo potter al akelim. For the damage done to the animal, the owner of the pit bears responsibility. For the ruination of the vessels, exemption. Nofal l'seichu shor cheresh shoita v'koton chayov. This phrase will be explained in the Gemara. And ben obas evet oama potter. If a child, a boy or girl, a slave or a bondmaid fell in, there is exemption. The Rashi, under the Gemara, first wide line of Rashi, ben obas, klomar, afal gav diktanim hein, even though they are young, veleko lemeimar, and of them we can't say, iboilu yinu meizal, they should have watched where they're going. So that therefore we can't lay the responsibility on them. Rather, it would seem that the Baal HaBor should be held responsible. Afilu hachi poter, nevertheless, the owner of the pit is exempt. Migzeres hakosuv shor v'lo yodom chamor v'lo kelim. The pasuk says v'nofal shama shor o chamor. So a shor is mentioned, a chamor, a donkey is mentioned. We exclude person and vessels, so that the exemption comes to reveal that even though the Baal HaBor would seem to be responsible in so far as you can't place the burden on them because of their youth and lack of knowledge, referring to the Ben Obas, nevertheless, the Gzeres HaKosov, the Torah exempts the owner of the pit. Of course, the Evan and Amar are exempted by the same Gzeres HaKosov, Shor Velo Adam. On the side of the Gemara, we have a topic heading, the Nosei. Ha Dekotani Bamishna. It said in our Mishnah, Hasheni Chayev, the second owner of the pit, the partner, when he walks by and notices the pit exposed and doesn't cover it, so he bears responsibility, indicating that the first owner has no responsibility. After all, the Mishnah said he used it and then covered it. The second one walked by and found it exposed. So Mishnah is saying that the second one is chayev. However, ad mosai arishon poter. Until what point do we say that the first partner is totally exempt? So we'll see in the Gemara three deos to this effect, to the explain that. Now the Gemara, the rishon ad emas pot miftar, the first partner who had covered it properly. Up to what point in time do we say he is exempt? The Rashi that you find under the Gemara text, the third line, "V'rishon ademas miftar heicha debo asheni v'nishtamish bo v'lo kiso." And given the situation where the second one used the pit and didn't cover it, "Ad emas rami akul chivu asheni v'rishon poter." Until when do we say that all of the responsibility is on the second fellow and first one exempt? So now we continue with the Gemara with the first of three opinions. Omarav. If enough time went by that the first fellow would come and see it exposed, since at this point in time both know about it, that it's exposed, at that point the responsibility would be borne by both of them. So Rashi says, "Bichtei sheyeda sheyovo gam horishon achreichem v'yirenu megula." Up till that point, then the second fellow bears responsibility. But when this happens, that the first partner comes by and happens to see it exposed, and leaves it that way, then both will bear responsibility. Don't forget, we're talking about a pit that's jointly owned. We continue in the Gemara. Shmuel Omar, "Bichtei." According to Shmuel, even if the first fellow doesn't come by, doesn't actually come by and see it exposed, but enough time went by that he could have been informed that it's exposed. That is enough for the first fellow to join in the responsibility. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, b'chdei shiodiyuhu v'yiskur payalim v'yichru yisarozim v'yachasenu. Rabbi Yochanan says that there would have to be enough time that the first person could be informed, and they would at that point would hire workers and cut beams for the purpose of creating a new pit cover. If that amount of time went by, then the first fellow would join in the obligation. The Gemara at this point introduces a new discussion. On the we quote from the Mishnah, Kiso Kuroi Venofel Lesecha Shora Chamor Umeis Potter. Pit was covered properly. An ox or a donkey fell in and died. The owner of the pit is exempt. The Gemara asks, I would say, the obvious question: Kevon de Kiso Koroi Hechi Nofal. Since you said it was covered properly, how could something fall in? Omar Reb Yitzchok Bar Bar Chano Shehisliya Mitoichai. The proper cover that they had put on happened to be wormy from within, not something that you could have seen just by looking at the cover. It looked like a proper cover, but the ruination of the cover was already there, or developed because of worminess from within. On the side of the Gemara, we have a Nosei topic heading, Birur Sugei Kisuyim V'Koyach Hamidosam. We're going to investigate different kinds of covers, pit covers, and their ability to withstand use, l'or, in light of tnaim svivatiyim, environmental circumstances, and tadirus tnu osam shalbehem ashonus, and the frequency of the movement of different kinds of animals over that pit cover. We open with a diamond, which indicates a long, and which also happens to be a long question in this case. On the side of the Gemara, under our Mivneh structural note, you'll see diamonds with Roman numerals 1 and 2. They represent Shtei Lushonos B'mahu HaSheila, two versions as to what the question is. The double underline, you'll see, with followed by an aleph and then O Dilma Beis, are here to highlight Hatzogas Protei HaSheila Im Shnei Tzdodim Echlanos. We're here to present the details of the question. Those are highlighted with this double underline, and the aleph O Dilma, where you'll see O Dilma squiggle underline, base, gives you the two sides of the analysis of the question. So those are the immediate markings we'll see, and then later we'll deal with the triangle. But I recommend, as I usually do, to take a bird's eye view of the Gemara. So you see your Roman numeral number 1, and on Omid base, a little less than halfway down the page, you'll notice a diamond with a Roman numeral number 2. The line right before that in the Gemara Amud Beis happens to say Iko di Amri, which we try to squiggle line on a regular basis. Iko di Amri, an alternative version, or literally there are those that say the following. So you get a second version of the question, hence our Roman numeral number 2. Now the Gemara. Ibayalaho, kiso'u kisui, the pit was covered with a cover, sheyochol lamoid lifnei shvorim, v'ein yochol lamoid bifnei gmolim. It's capable of withstanding the passage over it of oxen, but not that of camels. Let's assume, just for the sake of simplicity, that camels are larger, heavier creatures than oxen, and the cover was capable of withstanding ox traffic, but not camel traffic. V'asu gemalim v'aruha. Camels passed over it and weakened it. V'asu shvarim v'nafli bay. And eventually, oxen walked over it and fell in. My. What is the halacha? Amri hechidomi. Before we can analyze the question itself, we need to know some background information. So what are the circumstances? E deshchichi gemalim, if it was an area that camels are common, posheahu, then he acted with negligence in the first place. Rashi, you will see at the bottom line of the commentary, he's considered negligent even with regard to oxen. It should have occurred to the owner that camels will weaken the cover, weaken it to the point that it won't withstand the weight of even oxen. So if the circumstances are that camels are regular in that area, he was negligent. V'i delo shchichi gemalim, if it's a place that you don't find camels with any degree of frequency, onesu, then the cover that was capable of standing up against oxen that eventually caved in would have made this person onus, the damage that resulted, or the death of the oxen, was beyond his control. He did what he could have done. Lo tsricha, no, it's necessary to ask this question. The osu lefrokim, camels come at times. You notice with our double underlining, we're trying to develop the details of the question. So we have a cover that was described already as able to withstand oxen, not designed for camels. Camels are present only on an intermittent basis, the frokim only at times, and eventually the cover fell in, killing an ox. Mi amrinon. Now here we have the aleph, and then later the base, two sides of the question. Kevon de asyon lefrokim, since camels do appear at times, poshehu de boya leasuki adaite, he's considered having acted negligently because it should have occurred to him that camels would pass over it. Odilmo kevon de hashto mias leko onesu. On the other hand, we say right now there aren't any camels around, and therefore the breaking in of the cover, the caving in of the cover, was onus, beyond his control. Toshma. Now we have a triangle, then we'll explain it by looking at the side. The triangles in this discussion will appear in two different directions. Tzitut mekoros shenirois moichichos shnei atzdodim. Citation of sources that seem to that would give credence to both sides of the question. One side of the question indicated that he was poshea, and then the other side of the question indicated he was onus. So we start here with a toshma, with an attempt to cite a resolution to the question. Note that we have a long marking. In order, it's going to take a while to develop the point that we're trying to seek in this Tanaic quote. This will take us to the end of the narrow lines at the top of Omid Beis. Toshma, kiso karoi. He covered the pit properly. This, you can see, of course, is a quote from our Mishnah. And v'nofal l'soichu shor chamor umeis, a shor, an ox, or a chamor, a donkey, fell in and died. And the Mishnah ruled potter. Hechi domi, what are the circumstances behind our Mishnah? If you recall, when we read the Mishnah, we simply translated, indicating that we had to wait till this point for it to be explained. So what are the circumstances behind the Mishnah? You'll see that we're using a dot underlining scheme. to highlight words that are that we indicate on the side. Birur hanesunim. These are clarifications of the details. Alma medubar b'mekuris klomar ezo eichut hakisui. What are the details? The situation of the cover in the source, and the sources that we'll be citing. So you can see we do it with a stage analysis. Elamo, and then the next line you see Elolav, and on Omid Beis, you'll see again Li'olam. Different stages of analysis. So what are the circumstances of the cover of the Mishnah? Elamo karoi lishvorim v'karoi ligmalim, that it was a cover fit for both oxen and camels. Hechi nofel, how could it have fallen in? Elolav, rather, karoi lishvarim velo karoi ligmalim. The Mishnah must have been speaking of a cover capable of withstanding oxen, but not camels. You notice we're at the top of Omid Beis. So we say it's not roi ligmalim, and camels came by and weakened it. And if camels are common, so why would there be exemption? Posheahu, he was acting negligently. And if camels are not common there, so obviously he is innocent, he is exempt. As the Mishnah said, Potter, well, that's, I don't need the Mishnah to tell me if I have this kind of cover fit for oxen, not fit for camels. Camels are infrequent. Of course he's exempt. Onusu, he would be described as onus, beyond his control. Ruination of the cover, the caving in of the cover, was against his control. Elolav, the asion lefrokim viosu gmalim viorua. Rather, we will have to say, like we presented in our question, camels come at times, lefrokim, intermittently, not on a regular basis. On the other hand, never. We don't say it's a case that they're never there. They come lefrokim from time to time. V'yasu gmalim v'yorua, and camels came by and weakened it, the cover. V'yasu shvarim v'naflu bay, oxen came by, fell in. V'kotoni potter, and it says potter. In other words, we've described that our Mishnah was addressing the circumstances of our question. So Alma, here we come to the conclusion. Kevon de hashtoleka, since right now there were no camels around, Onusu, the owner of the pit, is exempt because he is onus. It's beyond his control. You'll notice that we have quite a few markings that we didn't explain. The purpose of these markings, by the way, we didn't say at the outset, but you'll see how, as we go through the Gemara, there's a very repetitious style to the Gemara. And by focusing on our markings alone, you will see that aspect of the Gemara. You notice we had a bow tie, where it said Elolav, and structural note on the bottom of Omid Aleph, we indicated hitmakdut, that's focusing, b'nesunim, on details, l'krat nisayon l'maskana. At that point, we were focusing on the circumstances in anticipation of the conclusion. So, just to go over this structural note, you look back at the third line from the top of Omid Beis, it said, elolav da'asyon l'frokim, that is where the Gemara focused on the point that was the central aspect of the question. We described in our question, if you look back several lines from the bottom of Omid Aleph, double underlined the Asu Lefrokim, and that's what we're saying in the bow tie, that's what the Mishnah was talking about. The way we set up our question, that they come from time to time. Then the house marking is explained in our key there at the bottom, Maskonus LaToshma, conclusions regarding what the Toshma, what the attempt to answer the question is in fact saying. Shekamuvon Mofios Gam Kein B'Shnei Kivunim. Since we said that the sources that we're citing will be showing you two different directions reflecting the two sides of the question. So since the sources were brought to reflect two different directions, the conclusion of the question, or I should say the conclusion of the answer, also will reflect two different directions. So in the meantime, we had a triangle, three lines from the bottom of Amud Aleph pointing upwards, where we were trying to say from that source, what was the direction of the source to indicate exemption, and then the house with the point facing up reached the conclusion that Onusu, that he in fact was again beyond his control, he is therefore exempt. Then in the Gemara we have our new marking, and you'll see we're going to reject everything we just said. We're going to reject everything we said regarding the Toshma, the conclusion. So the Gemara says, Amri lo, li oilom karoy lishvarim v'karoy ligmalim. Now, the dot underlining here is simply an additional stage in what the nature of the cover was. Do you remember, when you look back at your dot underlining before, two lines from the bottom of Amud Aleph, we had Eleimo, followed by Elolav, we were describing the cover, is it fit, what's it fit for? In our opening suggestion, we said, maybe, or if you say it's fit for oxen and fit for camels, how could it have fallen in? Of course, by saying the cover was fit for oxen and fit for camels, then the source cited wasn't addressing the topic of our question. Because the topic of our question indicated a cover that would be fit for oxen and not fit for camels. That was in the original double underlining. So if you would go like the Elema, two lines from the bottom, that it was fit for both oxen and camels, you're not addressing our question. Our question focused on fit for oxen and not fit for camels. At this point in the Gemara's rejection, in fact, we're saying li'oilom karoy l'shvam karoy l'gmalim. The cover was fit for oxen and camels as well. So the Mishnah citation doesn't address our question. Well, okay, that's very nice that it's fit for both oxen and camels. Udekokashilach, and you'll ask, Heichinofel, how could it have fallen in to begin with? Amrim Subar Barchano, Shittia Mitocho. In accordance with Rav Yitzchok's explanation, it became wormy from within. In other words, you provided a sound cover, a solid cover, even fit for camels, but in the course of time, the worms ate away at it, and that caused it to fall in. As far as our original question is concerned, that was not addressed by the Mishnah citation, the Toshma that we read. Therefore, notice Toshma. We provide an inverted triangle. If the triangle before, with the point facing up, was pointing in the direction of innocence, with a cover like that, namely fit for oxen and not fit for camels, here we're going to be going in the opposite direction. Let's see how it develops. Toshma. Lo kiso karoi, v'nofal l'soicha yishor oi chamor umeis, chayov. If the pit was covered improperly, it was lo kiso, it was not covered properly, and an ox or a donkey fell in and died, so the owner of the pit is responsible. This, of course, is also a citation from our Mishnah. Heichi Domi, what's the nature of this cover? Ilema lo karoy lishvarim velo karoy ligmalim. It's not fit for oxen and certainly not for camels. Pshita. Tzricho lemeimar dechayav. It's obvious that he would be responsible. Do you need the Mishnah to spell that out? So, Elolav, so then what is the Mishnah talking about? Karoi l'shvorem, velo karoi l'gmalim. Oh, just like our question, a cover that's fit for oxen and not fit for camels. Hey, Chidomi, what's the nature of the traffic there? E d'shchichi gemalim posheahu. If it's an area that camels are frequently found, so then by providing a cover incapable of withstanding camel traffic, he's been irresponsible. The E delo, and I think that we can assume that he would obviously be guilty. Would you need the Mishnah to tell me that? I think you wouldn't need the Mishnah to tell me that. And if camels are not found at all, and he provided a cover fit for that which was found, namely oxen, and it fell in anyway, it's beyond his control. So that could not be the circumstance either. Why would the Mishnah rule guilty? Elolav. Again, we now are coming to the climax of what the circumstances are, and it's just like our question. The circumstances of the Mishnah are da'asyon lefrakim. The camels come from time to time. The osu gmal v'uro. The camels that did come from time to time passed over the cover and weakened it. The osu shvorim v'naf lubei. Oxen eventually walked over the pit cover and fell in. The katoni chayav. And the Mishnah rules that you are guilty. You are responsible and must make compensation. Alma, what is the conclusion? Notice the house is now in the inverted direction. Kevon da'asin lefrokim poishayahu. Since they do come from time to time, he was negligent. Iboyle asuki adaite. It should have occurred to him that would happen. The camels would come and weaken the cover, and hence what he did was insufficient by having a cover fit for oxen and not fit for camels. And therefore we would have a conclusion to our original question concerning a cover fit for oxen, not fit for camels, where camels come by from time to time. The Gemara rejects this. The Oilam Karoi Lishvarim Velo Karoi Ligmalim Ushichi Gmalim. Here we're saying that the cover was like in our question. Namely, it was a cover fit for oxen, not fit for camels. However, Ushichi Gmalim. But camels were regular. That was not part of our original question. In our original question, that's why we had the double underline back on the bottom of Omid Aleph. Part of our original question was the osu lefrakim, the camels appear only from time to time. Here in the Mishnah, the camels come shchichigmam, they come regularly. Udekokashiloch, and you'll ask, well, if those are the circumstances, poishayahu, he is negligent. He's obviously guilty. Why would you need a Mishnah to tell me the obvious? So we say, Aidi denosiv reisha kisa karoi, since the reisha described a cover that was karoi, and we spoke before about a cover that was fit for oxen and camels as well, nosiv seifonami, the seifa teaches me, stylistic contrast, lo kisa karoi. But there's no chidish, there's no a real revelation of something novel in the Seifa, in the latter part of the Mishnah. So that if you were asking before, is it not obvious that he's guilty? Yes, it is. Why was it taught? For structural balance only. Ika diamri. And now we present a new version of the question. Ha nami vadai lo ibayalon. What we thought we were asking about is really no basis of a question. Since the camels come from time to time, I don't need to ask about that case. Providing a cover not fit for camels as well categorizes him as poshea, as being negligent. It should have occurred to him that camels would pass by at some time and weaken the cover. Ki ibayalon, hochihu debayalon. When a question is to be raised, it's to be raised as follows. Kisohu kisui, And now we're using the same marking scheme as we did before to highlight the circumstances of the question. What was the nature of the cover? Sheyochol lamoy b'fnei shvorim v'eino yochol lamoy b'fnei gemalim u'shchichi gemalim. A cover that's capable of withstanding oxen, not withstanding camels. Camels are frequent. And then Rashi adds a very important point. Camels did not weaken the cover in this scenario. The cover eventually fell in because it became wormy from within. And an ox went across and it caved in. Mahu. How should we judge this? Up till now, we were placing a great deal of emphasis on the Gemara structure. Notice all of the same markings appear again. A triangle with an attempt to prove from the Mishnah in one direction, with a reaching a climax of the circumstances of the Toshma, then finally a house marking with a conclusion of what the conclusion would be, and then the inverted crown shape, a rejection of whatever was said. And then a second attempt to resolve with another Toshma. You notice again, an inverted triangle, the same structural story all over again. So at this point in the Gemara, I don't think it's important for us to emphasize the structural elements anymore. We dwelt on that enough till this point. So now we have the issue of the cover fit for oxen, not fit for camels. Camels, although they are common in that area, they did not cause the weakening, and it got wormy from within, and an ox fell in. How do we judge this? Now the two sides of the question. Mi amrinon, do we say, migu dahavi poishea eitzel gemalim, havi poishea nami leinyan haslaw? Since he was negligent with regard to camels, he's considered negligent with regard to the worminess, and that would lead to his guilt. Oy dilma, lo amrino migu, or we don't connect the two. He may have been negligent with regard to camels, but camels didn't pass over this pit cover at all. The caving in was a result of the worminess, but we can't call him negligent regarding that. Ta shma. Kiso karoi v'nofal esoichoi shoro chamoru meis potter. V'itmar alo omer Rabbi Yitzchok bar Chana shisliya mitzocho. And Rabbi Yitzchok commented, when we saw this, of course, earlier, he commented on this, indicating that what were the circumstances of the Mishnah. The circumstances were that it became wormy. The cover that was a proper cover became wormy from within. And the Mishnah ruled exemption, hechi domi. Well, what was the nature of this cover? Ilema karoi lishvorem v'karoi ligmalim v'isliyam yisoychoi, that it was fit for oxen and camels, and it became wormy. Shita de potter mahavi leila mevar. Obviously, he's innocent. What else could he have done? Elo lav karoi lishvorem v'lo karoi ligmalim. Rather, it was fit for oxen and not fit for camels. Ushchichi gemalim. And like in the circumstances of our question, camels were frequent there. V'isliya misoichai. The camels didn't weaken it, but it got wormy and caved in. V'katani potter. And the owner is exempt. Almo lo amrinon. So you see, remember, we do not say, migu dahavi poishea linyin gemalim avi poishea linyin aslaw. Just like he was negligent regarding camels, he's also considered negligent regarding worminess. So that would answer our question, that there we don't apply the idea of migu. He's therefore innocent. The Gemara rejects this. Lo, li'oilam karoi ligmalim karoi lishvarim v'islam isocho. In actuality, the cover our Mishnah describes is one that was fit for camels and oxen, and it became wormy from within. And if you'll ask, well, if it became wormy under those circumstances, what could he have possibly done? Obviously, he is exempt. Do you need the Mishnah to tell me the obvious? So the more answers, Mahu Detema. Without the Mishnah, I might have thought, given a cover that's super duper fit for camels and oxen, and became wormy from within, there's an expectation of pit owners to regularly go to the pit cover and bang on it to see if there's any sound of hollowness to it, which would indicate worms. And if he doesn't do that on a regular checking, he would be considered negligent. Komash Malon, we tell you that we don't have that expectation. Once again, at this point, though, the Mishnah is not dealing with the circumstances of our question, because at the inverted crown point where we rejected the attempt before, we had said that the Mishnah was talking about Roy Ligmalim and Roy Lishvarim. We, in the question, where the double underline appeared, was asking about a cover that was fit for oxen and not fit for camels. So can we extract source information to answer our question? Let's try this out. Toshma. The inverted triangle indicates a source citation will lead to an opposite conclusion, namely one of guilt. Toshma lo kiso karoi v'nofa l'seichu shoro chamoru meis chayav. Heichi domi. Fit for neither oxen nor camels. Do you need a Tanaic source to tell me that he bears responsibility? Rather, it was fit for oxen, not for camels. If it's a case where camels are frequent and they walked over it and weakened it, he's of course negligent. It's obvious that he would be guilty. I don't need a Mishnah to tell me about that. And if camels are infrequent, they rarely show up. So he would be innocent. It's beyond his control. Yet the Mishnah rules guilty. El olav tishchichi gemalim. It's a place that camels do frequent. The eventual caving in was not because of the camels, though. It was because of the worminess in this wooden cover. And the Mishnah rules he is guilty. So you conclude from here that we do say, since he was negligent with regard to camels, he is viewed as negligent even with regard to the issue of worminess. Well, then we would have a conclusion to our question, which involved a cover that was fit for oxen, not fit for camels, and it caved in because of the worminess, and it's a place the camels were frequent, though its caving in was not because of them. How then is he guilty? Because we apply the concept of migu, since he demonstrated negligence with regard to one aspect of behavior, he's considered negligent with regard to whatever happens. The Gemara says, Amri lo. We're not going to conclude that. Rather, li oilom, the circumstances of the Mishnah are different. Karoi l'shvarim v'lo karoi l'gmalim, u'shchichi gmalim, camels are frequent, v'asu gmalim v'ahu. Camels did come and weaken it. That's already not like our question, so the Mishnah is not addressing our question. Camels came by and weakened it. The Osu Shvarim v'naflu bay. Oxen came by and actually fell in. Well, obviously he's guilty. Do I need a Mishnah to tell me the obvious? So the Gemara says, you know, you're right. The seifa of the Mishnah in describing something fit for oxen and not fit for camels, and camels weakened it, of course he's guilty. Why teach that? Answer, it's a stylistic consideration. Aidi denosiv reisha kiso karoi, nosiv seifo nami lo kiso. Since the Mishnah spoke about a covering initially of a proper covering, the continuation of the Mishnah describes an improper covering with, in fact, no real legal revelation of something novel, something unique that I wouldn't have known anyway. Ta shma. So we try again. Nofal lesocho shor cherushay devikoton, that there fell in an ox that was lacking, an ox that was either a deaf mute or some kind of a lacking of ox mentality or a small immature ox. Suma is a blind ox. Umahalech balayla, an ox walking at night. If any of these kinds of oxen fell in, Chayav, the owner of the pit, bears guilt. Pikeach umhalech b'yoim, potter, an ox of sound, ox mind walking by day, that fell in, potter, there would be exemption. So we make a split in the halacha. Sometimes Chayav, and sometimes exempt. Vamai, why rule thusly? Neymar, why not say midahavi poishea minyan cheresh, since he was negligent with regard to the cheresh type ox. Havi nami poishea leinyan pikeach, he is held responsible regarding the pikeach, the normal type ox as well, and yet the Mishnah says he's exempt in the case of the pikeach that falls in, because with regard to the pikeach we can say, well, it should have looked at where it was going. Elolav. So what do we conclude from the fact that the Mishnah makes this distinction and doesn't work off the pshia aspect of the cheresh and extend it to the pikeach? Shma mino, we conclude from here, lo amrinon migu. We don't apply that the migu type reasoning, that since for one he is negligent, so for the other as well. Shma mino, this is therefore conclusive. So that in the last question, which was featured with the Roman numeral number 2, it's true he was negligent with regard to camels, but camels didn't cause the falling in. It was the worminess, the rotting from within, that caused the falling in. And that although he was negligent with regard to camels, he wasn't negligent with regard to this specific case of the cover caving in because of the worminess. Nofal lefonov mikol hakriya chayav. This is, of course, a quote from the Mishnah. And mikol hakriya, and la'achorov mikol hakriya potter. If the animal fell lefonov because of the sound of the digging, the widening of the pit, or the deepening of the pit, the owner is guilty. And if it fell la'achorov backwards, so he is innocent. What do the words lefonov and la'achorov really mean? Well, here we'll have a machlokus between Rav and Shmuel. The machlokus, the names are highlighted with a volcano shape. This you can see on the side of the Gemara. There are no say mivne heading. The volcano shape appears. Machlokus Rav Shmuel befirush haMishna nofal lefonov la'achorov and pirusham. You lishitas, and we will find that Rav and Shmuel offer explanations here that are consistent with their general approach to how to explain the damage of bor of the Torah. If you recall, in past sugyas, Rav, and here we've included just a brief review in our note on the side, Rav, bor chayev beglal hevel velo chavota. Bor is responsible for its bad air aspect. In other words, there's bad air circulation at the bottom of the pit that causes the damage, not the impact that happens as a result of the fall into the pit. Shmuel says, Bor chayav mishum hevel, v'af mishum chavota. Shmuel says, in addition to the bad air aspect of the pit, which creates guilt, on the part of the pit owner, the impact also is something he is held responsible for. Omar Rav. Lifonov, the Mishnah's description of the animal falling, Lifonov, Ponov Mamish, means literally on its face. The animal fell into the pit on its face, and it died because of the, we'll call suffocation, as a result of the bad air. Li'acharov, it fell, La'acharov means Acharov Mamish, it fell on its back. The Gemara continues at the top of Daf Nun Gimel. V'ze v'ze b'bor. Both the Lefonov and Lachrov of the Mishnah means inside the pit. Rashi at the top says v'ze v'ze b'bor v'afilu hachi. Even though the animal fell into the pit, Ashmin and Masnisin de Potter. The Mishnah tells us exemption. Hayol v'lo mehev lo mis. Since it fell, when it said Lachrov on its back, it didn't die from suffocation. Ela mechavota. It died from the impact. Vikaka oilum did bnei rishus rabim azikoso. The impact is a result of the ground, which belongs to the general public, not to the one who dug the pit. The pit is found in a public area, and the ground which is responsible for the impact belongs to the public. Rav, we continue in the Gemara. Rav litarame. The boar that the Torah holds a person responsible for is for the bad air, not for impact. So that only if the animal fell face forward can we describe chiyuv, can we suggest guilt on the part of the one who dug the pit. Ushmuel Omar, the boar. When it comes to an animal falling into a pit, bein milfonov bein lachrov chayav, whether he falls face forward or falls on its back, the one who dug the pit is guilty. Shmuel letamei. Shmuel here is consistent with what he has said in the past. Yomar lehevlo v'chol shekein lechavoto. Shmuel says that the boar, the pit that the Torah holds you guilty for, is a pit that causes either bad air or impact. So where do you see innocence? The Mishnah spoke about innocence. Lachrov, if it fell, Lachrov, Elo, Echidomi Lachrov Mikol Akriya Depoter. So what are the circumstances of the Mishnah that described it falling backwards as a result of the sounds of the digging and innocence? Kagon, the Niskal Babor. The case is where the animal tripped over the edge of the pit. Venofal Achore Habor Chutz Labor. And it fell on the outside of the pit, meaning at the ground surface outside the pit. So the pit per se caused the animal to trip, but the animal didn't die in the pit. So if it fell backwards under circumstances like that, the owner of the pit is not held responsible. Esve, we now raise an objection from a Tanaic source. You'll see shortly on Rav. What does it say? Babor. It fell in the pit. Bein lefonov bein la'acharov chayov. Here you have an animal falling in the pit on its back, and the pit owner is guilty. Tiyufta de Rav. Should we say that this is a refutation of Rav? As you scan ahead in the Gemara, you'll notice a series of triangles. On the side of the Gemara, under the Mivneh heading, we have a triangle featured, Gimel Tirutzim Avur Rav, where we've written there are three answers in defense of Rav. So we continue in the Gemara. Omar Rav Chista, Moide Rav, Bebor Birshuso Dechayav. Rav will concede that if we're describing a pit in one's domain, where a person had dug a pit and in his own property and then declared the surrounding property, renounced ownership of the surrounding property, that kind of pit is your own. In contrast to what we described before as a pit dug in a public area, here the ground representing the pit the pit floor, the pit walls, is yours. It's not like the case before where we said that the ground of the pit was part of the public domain. So, Omar Achista Moide Rav, Bebor Birshuso, the Chayav. Rav will concede that when impact happens in a bor that you own, the bor owner, the pit owner, is guilty. Mishum the Omar Lay, the victim, can the owner of the killed ox can say, Mi Monav Shach. Either way you look at things, Iba Hevla Mis, Evla Di Dachu, if it died through the bad air, it's your bad air. Iba Chavota Mis, Chavota Di Dachu, and if it was impact, it's impact caused by your ground that caused my animal to die. So as far as the Tanaic source quoted that said in the pit, even Lachorov is Chayov, where the Lachorov death is an impact related death, it's a case of Bor Birshuso. Rabo Omar, Hocha B'mayaskinon B'mishapich. Rabo has his own approach. He says that we might very well be talking about a Bor in a public area that you dug out, and nevertheless will explain why Lachorov is Chayov. What's the case? B'mishapich. The animal flipped around. D'nofala ape, it fell in face forward. Vishapech v'nofala gabei, and as it was falling down, it flipped over and landed on its back. So while it was falling face forward, it already experienced the bad air. The hevla dahani bay, ahani bay, the bad air that had some effects on the animal had its effects, and even though it landed on its back, nevertheless the hevel during the face forward fall had its deleterious effects already. Rav Yosef Omar Hocha Benizke Bor Beshor Askinon. A totally new approach. The Tanaic source that spoke about Babor Bein Lefana Bein Lachav is Chayav is a case where the shor damaged the contents of the pit. It's not that the shor was the victim per se, but the shor is the cause of damage. My Niu, what do you mean by that? Shehivish es meimov. The ox ruined the waters in the pit. The lo shna lefonov, the lo shna liachrov, mechayev. Regardless of what direction the animal fell in, face forward, backwards, it ruined the water in the pit. The issue here of whatever happened to the ox, I think that for simplicity purposes, we can say nothing happened to the ox itself in this particular case. As I say, just to keep things simple, rather, the ox fell and the ox was full of mud and it ruined the water. In that case, it doesn't matter what direction the ox fell in. Toni Rav Chananya L'Siyuei L'Rav. Here we have a Tanaic source taught by Rav Chananya that supports Rav. The original position of Rav was that if the animal fell into a pit, and it was a pit dug in a public area, and it died, it made a difference whether it fell face forward or on its back. So the source says, V'nofal. The pasuk, quoting the pasuk of V'nofal, Shoma Shoro Chamor, the word in the pasuk is V'nofal. Ad Shi'ipol Derech Nefila. Until it falls in the direction of falling. Rashi says, Derech Nefila, Al ponov mashma, and indicates on its face the robe mus hanoflim boimik al paneim noiflim, that the majority of animals when they fall face forward. Mikan omru, from here we conclude, from here we say nofal lefonov mikola kriya chayav, if it fell face forward he is guilty. Lachorov mikola kriya poter, if fell backwards, he is innocent. The owner of the pit is innocent. Vze bebor, and both cases of face forward, face back are in the pit itself. So we have a distinction regarding animal falling in the pit proper between falling on its face versus falling on its back, and that is the opinion that we saw in the name of Rav. So here we have this Tanaic source supporting Rav. The next piece of Gemara will be focusing on the issue of falling as a result of noise produced by the digging. How is that to be understood in legal terms? Mirtz Hashem, next time we'll get to that. In the meantime, just before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.